It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for the program. Today we have two of the biggest shows that were on the radio in the 1950s, Gunsmoke and Jack Benny. Yeah, they're both great shows. We're going to get right into them now. Starting with Gunsmoke, this is called Johnny Red from 1955.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters. This is it. L&M is best, stands out from all the rest. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Where'd you get the crowd?
Oh, some trail herd just came in. Circle B, I think.
Oh?
Come on upstairs and have a drink with me. I gotta get clear of here for a few minutes.
All right, let's go. Yeah, they are kind of loud, aren't they?
They sure are. You ever get fed up with it, Matt?
Fed up with what?
Everything. Come on in. Make yourself to home.
Ah, thank you. What's bothering you, Kitty?
Oh, nothing special. Just the whim-whams, I guess.
Ah.
Pour us a drink.
Okay. You know, since you're so fed up, why don't you get out of it? Go back east.
Get married and settle down? Nice, quiet bank clerk, a tub of wash, and a cook stove.
And kids...
I'd like kids. Let's have that drink.
Yeah. Here you are.
Thanks. I'm not getting out, neither are you. So let's live while we still... Oh. If that's some drunken herder, so help me out. Yes?
You sit downstairs. The marshal was up here.
Well, come in. Matt?
What's on your mind, fella?
I thought maybe you could give me some information, Marshal. I'm looking for some folks named Crail, Mr. and Mrs. John Crail. I understand they've got a place around Dodge somewhere.
Yes, Ms. Crail does. John Crail died about 3 years ago.
No.
Are you an old friend of theirs?
They're my folks, my ma and pa.
What?
I'm Billy Crail. Maybe they mentioned me.
Yeah, your mother's always said that you'd come home someday. She's never given up hoping.
How is she, Marshal?
Well, she's not too good. She's got a big ranch on her hands. She's been trying to run it alone since your dad died. You think she'll recognize you?
She might not at first. It's been 17 years since I ran away from home.
Yeah.
A kid does crazy things. Maybe not right at first, but I'll convince her all right.
Yeah, you probably will. She'll even help you do it. Where you been all these years, Lily?
Just drifting. Here, there. You know how it goes.
Yeah, sure.
How do I get out to the place? I'm anxious to see
you. That's about 5 miles east of town. You just follow downriver. You can't miss it.
Thanks a lot, Marshal. I guess we'll see each other again since I'm going to settle down, eh?
Oh, sure. So long.
All right, let's have it.
What? What do you mean, Kitty?
Well, I know you, Matt. Something was wrong there. What was it?
Well, it's just this, Kitty. A few years ago, Miss Crail asked me to try to trace her son for her. I did it. But then I didn't have the heart to tell her.
Tell her what?
I got a report back from the War Office. Billy Crail had joined the Union Army at the start of the war. He was killed in action at the Battle of Shiloh.
This is it, L&M Filters.
It stands out from all the rest.
Miracle tip, much more flavor.
L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior filtration, superior taste.
Superior filtration because of L&M's superior filter. White, all white, pure white. The purest tip that ever touched your lips.
Superior taste because of L&M's superior tobaccos. Tasty, full of flavor, and light and mild.
No doubt about it. L&M is America's best filter tip cigarette.
This is it. L&M filters.
L&M's got everything.
It's the best.
These here circulars climb blue in the face. They cutthroats, cattle rustlers, horse thieves, bank robbers, anything you can think of. They ain't nary one of them fits the description of that Crail fella.
I'll just keep looking, Chester. Might be 2 or 3 years back, but I seen that face of his somewhere. And it had to be in one of these circulars.
Well, I just don't understand how he figures to get away with it. You can't fool a man's own ma.
I might in this case. She hasn't seen him since he was a boy, and she's pretty old now. Her eyesight's failing her, and her memory's none too good.
Well, with that ranch and all the money she's got put away, he sure seems...
Wait a minute, Chester.
You find something I should don't?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I thought so.
He sure looks like him, all right.
It is him. 3 years ago. Height 6'1", weight 185, sandy complexion, so on, so on.
Sure fits him.
Wanted in Lubbock for questioning in connection with the holdup of the Lone Star Bank. Previous arrest, Pecos Crossing, cattle theft, acquitted for lack of evidence. Convicted San Antonio 8 years ago, armed robbery, served 4 years, paroled. Known associates, Nate Barger and Ponca City Kid.
Reward $1,000.
Calls himself Johnny Red. Well, Chester.
Chester?
Let's go get him.
Oh, I don't see him nowhere around.
Ah, that's good. I was hoping I could talk to Ms. Crail first.
Think you'll put up a fight, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester.
Who is it?
It's Marshal Dillon, ma'am.
Well, if this ain't a surprise now. Come on on in and set a spell, Marshal.
Well, thank you, Miss Crail.
It's good to see you, Marshal. And you too, Mr. Proudfoot, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, please.
I wasn't too sure. My eyes ain't quite... Well, come on in, gentlemen. Oh, land sakes, I do like company, and seems like nobody ever comes out this way no more. Now, set yourselves down there now.
Well, thank you.
Rest your feet, and I'll get you a cup of coffee.
Oh, don't bother, Miss Crail. We don't have much time.
Time? Well, it won't take no time. I got it already made. I'm just fixing to have some myself.
You might take your hat off, Jessica.
Land alive. If a body can't do a little something for a company, she ain't fit to have none.
Well, I guess it does get pretty lonesome out here.
Well, it did. Oh, I've got a big surprise to tell you about, Marshal.
Your, son?
Oh, shucks. The way gossip flies around Dodge City, a body couldn't have a chance to get ahead of it. Oh, here you are.
Thank you.
Yes,
sir. Thank you.
He's come home. Just like I always knew he would.
Has he changed much, Miss Crail?
Oh, good heavens, yes. Well, he was just a boy when he went away, and now he's a grown-up man. He's fine and then strong.
Then there's no doubt in your mind that this really is Billy.
That's downright silly, Marshal. But you can't fool a mother. She can always tell her own. Why, the second Billy walked up on that porch and said, "How are you, Ma?" I knew him just like that.
I see.
You know, I'd been sort of going downhill since John passed on. The work was hard, and seemed like I'd kind of lost my reason for living. I don't think I'd have lasted, Marshal.
Well, now, Miss Crail.
Oh, but it's different now. The minute Billy put his arm around me, I started feeling like a young woman again. And I still do. Well, I'm happier than I've been in years.
Yes, ma'am, you sure seem to be.
My son's come home. Could a mother ask for more?
No, ma'am, I guess not. I suppose that is all that matters.
That's all.
Well...
Oh, I'm sorry, Marshal. Sure, I've been talking a leg off you. I haven't even thought to ask what brings you out this way.
Why, nothing, Miss Crail. Matter of fact, we just rode out for a friendly fishing.
Well, I'm mighty glad you did, Marshal. You stop by just any time. And you too, Mr. Proudfoot.
Well, I thank you, ma'am.
Well, thank you for the coffee, ma'am, and goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah, you couldn't have done nothing else, Mr. Dillon. Oh, it would have broke her heart if you'd have told her.
Yeah, I guess so, but she's going to find out anyway, sooner or later, when he steals her blind and then runs out on her. That's a bad deal, Chester, any way you look at it.
Marshal?
Well, I...
Kind of sets you a problem, don't it?
Well, I may set a few problems for you before I'm done with you, Johnny.
And break an old lady's heart? I don't think so, Marshal. And the name is Billy, by the way. Billy Crail.
Not in Lubbock.
Lubbock? Where's that?
Don't worry, Johnny. When I send you back, there'll be somebody along to show you the way.
I don't know why you keep on calling me Johnny.
Because that's your name, Johnny Red. Bank robber, gunman, cattle thief. You fill out the list.
Maybe you could get my mother to fill it out.
Miss Crail's an old woman. She doesn't know that her son was killed at the Battle of Shiloh.
That report was a mistake, Marshal, but I figured it was best to let it stand. See, I deserted 2 weeks before Shiloh.
Oh, yeah, sure you did.
I don't know where you got this crazy idea I'm somebody named Johnny Red. And before you go off half-cocked, I'd say it might be a good idea to check with the sheriff in Lubbock. Meanwhile, I figure it's like your friend there was saying. You wouldn't want to break an old woman's heart, would you?
Oh, how are you, Doc?
Oh, terrible, terrible minute.
Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, lost another patient this afternoon.
Did somebody die?
Oh, no, no. You kind of figure on that happening, but you don't count on them getting well on you.
And they don't very often. Well, who was it that pulled this mean trick on you?
Old Lady Crail.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. A month ago, I wouldn't have figured her to live through the winter. I even thought she might leave me something in her will, too, but I... Well, doggone it, she was jumping around out there this morning as chipper as a young filly.
Ah, she's a young mother now.
Well, that's no joke, Matt. That's exactly what it is. That boy of hers has been home 3 weeks now, and it's made a new woman out of her.
Yeah. Only he's not really her boy, Doc.
Huh? Well, no, what do you mean by that?
He's an ex-convict from Texas. I had a reward circular on him from Lubbock.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Matt. He might be able to fool other people, but
I know,
his own mother.
I know. A mother can always tell her own, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Well, maybe this is the exception that proves the rule.
Well, if you really think that, and if he's wanted, well, why aren't you going out there and arrest him?
I got no charge against him, Doc. A wired Lubbock. Seems he was wanted, but not anymore. They already picked him up and then turned him loose for lack of evidence.
Well, if he's not Billy Crail, then what's he up to? What's his reason?
Yeah, you know how much that ranch is worth. And Ms. Crail keeps ever since she's got out there at the place because she doesn't trust banks. What more reason would a man like that need?
You better come quick, Mr. Dillon.
Now, what's wrong, Chester?
Jake just brought the Cimarron stage in. He got held up right outside of town. They shot the guard.
Will you let me through here, please? Please, will you stand aside and let Doc get in there? Please.
Well, they finally got to me, Marshal.
How'd it happen, Jake?
Boldest thing I ever seen. It was about 3 miles out of town. They throwed some cottonwood limbs across the trail so I'd have to pull up, and that's when they jumped me.
How many of them?
Just two. A couple I never seen before. Brassy as sin. Didn't even bother to wear masks. And they hauled off and shot Barney there without even giving him a chance.
What did they get, Jake?
The cash box. I don't know how much was in it.
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, Doc.
Well, there's nothing I can do for him, Matt. Two bullets right under the ribs. I doubt if he even knew what hit him.
Well, take charge of it, will you, Doc?
Matt, somebody said Barney got shot.
Yeah, he's dead, Kitty.
Oh.
Jake, would you recognize either of those men?
Oh, sure. Like I say, they didn't worry none about being seen. One of them was a tall, skinny fella. The other one was a kind of a kid. The tall one called him Ponka.
Ponka?
They were strangers, though. They ain't from around here.
Well, sounds like a couple of fellas I saw on the Long Branch today, talking to Billy Crail.
Oh?
Billy finally left, but they stayed for another hour or so, talking real serious together.
Those two gunmen, Jake, where'd they head for when they left you, huh?
Well, it was a funny thing. I figured they'd make a run south. Instead, they rode east, downriver. That trail don't lead nowhere.
Yeah, except to the Crail Ranch.
To you, to the thousands of smokers who are changing to L&M every day, to the millions who now smoke L&M, here is your assurance. L&M gives superior filtration because of its superior filter. Superior taste because of L&M's superior tobaccos. Yes, L&M tobaccos are tasty, full of flavor, and light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is the purest tip that ever touched your lips. It's white. All white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M's superior tobacco, it actually tones up the taste, actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Yes, L&M's got everything. Superior taste, superior tobacco, superior filter. That's why it's America's best filter tip cigarette. Try L&M today.
Thank you.
No sign of life, Mr. Dillon. Looks real quiet.
Yeah. Too quiet, maybe.
No lights, neither.
Pull up, Chester. Let's walk from here.
Yes, sir.
All right, now watch yourself. Now, when I jerk the screen open, I'm going to go in fast.
I'll keep you covered, Mr. Dillon.
All right, Chester, come on in. See if you can find a lamp, huh?
Well, I think there was one over here on the table the other day. Yeah, here it is.
Well, light it and bring it over here.
Yes, sir.
Come on, come on.
Here you are, Mr. Dillon. Oh, my.
Hold the lamp down.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, she's dead.
She's been beat bad, too.
Well, it's not questioning he's wanted for now. It's murder.
Reach. What? Both of you. What?
Oh, it's you, Marshal.
Who are you expecting, Johnny? Nate Barger and the Ponca City Kid?
That's right. They're down there. They're digging by the riverbank, but they'll be back. They won't find what they were... Oh.
Johnny, who shot you?
I don't know which one of them it was. It don't matter, though. I'll last till they get back. But not long enough for a murder charge, Marshal. Don't try for your gun, Marshal.
I'm not that much of a fool. Not with yours on my back.
I wouldn't want to shoot you. I got nothing personal against you, but your way of handling this ain't the way I... Put out that lamp. They're coming back. Oh, they're out there now. Stay where you are and stay quiet. I gotta get to a window.
All right, Chester, let's ease out the back way. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Here, over here. Now stay close to the house. They'll walk toward the porch. We'll have a chance to take them from the side. Then.
Yes, sir.
Tell you one thing. Yeah. She's still alive. She's sure ain't gonna lie about this time. Hot brand and iron might help.
All right, hold it. You're covered.
Right over there at the corner, Bunker. I'll get him.
I warned you, Punker. All right, drop the gun, Barger. Go on, drop it.
All right, I did. I dropped it. I give up. Don't shoot.
You keep your hands high.
That's right, Nate. Keep them up high.
John? Johnny, no.
Say hello to Punker for me.
No, Johnny, just, no. Johnny, I had my head...
All right, drop your gun, Johnny.
Sure, Marshal. I'm through with it now.
He had his hands in the air. He had no call to shoot him.
You'd have took him in alive. He might have got out of it. This way, it works out better. More sure. Oh.
Johnny?
Yeah, Marshal.
Well, I guess you know how you stand. You don't have a chance.
It don't matter. I lasted till it was finished.
What started it? An argument over the split?
No split. I wasn't in with them. They followed me here from Texas. That That's right, Marshal. I'm Johnny Red.
I never doubted it.
They thought I was double-crossing them. They laid for me out here at the ranch. Thought they'd kill me. And her. They beat up Marshal, trying to find out where she kept her money. But she wouldn't tell. She lied to him. Said it was buried down by the riverbank.
Where is it buried, Johnny?
No place. I took it into the bank for her last week.
You what?
I figured it wasn't safe for her to keep it here.
Been a lot easier to get your hands on it, though, when you were ready to leave, huh?
So you still think a mother can't tell? Sure, Marshal. I've been called Johnny Red for years now. But my real name is Billy Crail. I wasn't lying about that. She was my mother. She was mama.
Well,
he was Billy Crail after all.
Yeah.
If he'd have just stayed away, hadn't come back home, she'd still be alive. It was her own son, you might say, that caused her death.
Doc says she wouldn't have lived through the winter anyway. And Billy made her happy for a month at least. I don't know, Chester. I don't know.
And now our star, William Conrad.
Thank you, George. You know what I like about L&M's is they're mild and mighty easy on the draw. When you get right down to it, no filter stacks up with L&M's pure white miracle tip for quality or effectiveness. Darn good smoke. See for yourself. L&M stands out from all the rest.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The special music for Gunsmoke was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Sam Edwards, Virginia Gregg, Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, and Paul Dubois. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Put a smile in your smoking. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. This amazing quality detective electronically checks and controls the making of your Chesterfield, giving a uniformity and smoking quality never possible before. For the first time, you get a perfect smoke column from end to end. From the first puff to the last puff, Chesterfield smokes smoother. Chesterfield smokes cooler. Chesterfield is best for you. Next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray.
Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Light up a Chesterfield, they satisfy.
Remember, listen again next week for another transcribed story of the Western Frontier when Matt Dillon, Chester Proudfoot, Doc, and Kitty together with all the other hard-living citizens of Dodge, will be with you once more. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters.
It's time for Jack Benny, and this time Jack does the Sunset Boulevard skip from 1951.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, go lucky, strike.
I used to switch from brand to brand, but now I'm through to one. For I love Lucky's better taste, that means more smoking fun.
Honestly, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Make any smoking test you want, you'll see in just a minute. Each puff on Lucky Strike will prove there's more enjoyment in it.
You bet, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, strike today.
Friends, you know there's a real difference in cigarettes. Some are almost tasteless, while others are far too strong. Now, you can't get full enjoyment out of smokes like those. That's why, for complete smoking enjoyment, switch to Lucky Strike. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. You see, Lucky's are a truly happy blend which gives you everything you want in a cigarette. The reason is fine tobacco. For fine tobacco, and only fine tobacco, always gives you perfect mildness and rich, true taste. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. So for complete smoking enjoyment, make your next carton Lucky Strike. Yes, be happy. Go lucky. Because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy. Go lucky. Go lucky.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since this is Easter, we bring you a man who put a small rabbit in his hat so he could have a little hair on his head. And here he is, Jack Bunny.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. And Don, that was a very clever introduction.
Oh, did you like it?
No, I didn't like it. But your joke did fit.
What do you mean?
What I mean is I thought it was very appropriate for you to start an Easter program by laying an egg. Congratulations.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. That was a very funny joke, and the audience thought so, too.
They did not.
They did, too. I'll pick anybody in the audience and prove it. Say, mister.
Oh, me?
Yes, would you come up here for a minute?
Don, we don't have to go through all of that.
Oh, yes, we do. My future's at stake. You don't have to worry. You saved your money.
Don, believe me, it isn't that.
Hey, did you want me, mister?
Yes. Now, I want to ask you something, and I want your unbiased opinion. What did you think of that joke?
What joke?
You see, Don, you see?
What joke? The one I told when I introduced Jack Benny.
Who's he?
Who's he? For your information, I'd like you to know.
Oh,
that...
wait a minute, Jack. I guess I was wrong in calling him up here.
You bet you were wrong. Okay, mister, you can go sit down.
Not so fast, bub. Where's my refrigerator?
Refrigerator?
Well, certainly. You call me up on a stage, you ask me a lot of silly questions, and I'll pay you off.
Look, mister, this isn't a quiz program. This is a comedy show. We only got you out of the audience to give us an opinion.
You woke me up just for that?
Now, you can go sit down. I'm not going to ask you any more questions.
Okay, Senator.
Go already.
Oh, Jack, I'm sorry about the whole thing.
That's all right, Don. Maybe I shouldn't have picked on your joke. But you see, I was so sure that since today is Easter, your introduction would have been something about my new suit, you know?
Oh, forgive me, Jack. That is a beautiful suit. But what's that patch on the left shoulder?
I didn't think it would show.
Patch on a new suit?
Well, Don, I had to make a little alteration. You see, when it was delivered to me, my coat had three sleeves. Anyway, I think the color...
But, Jack, how in the world can you get a coat with three sleeves?
Well, you see, Don, this suit was made to measure, and it's my own fault for going to a tailor who was nearsighted.
Oh, nearsighted?
I kept telling him there was a guy standing next to me. But he wouldn't believe me. Anyway, I'm glad I got this suit.
Well, Jack, on Easter, everybody dresses up.
Not everybody, Don. Just look at the boys in Phil's band. I mean, look at the way they're dressed. If they spread themselves out, they could keep the crows away from 460 acres. You'd think they would at least show, have the little Easter spirit.
Hold it, Adrian, hold it.
Huh?
They've got the Easter spirit. Look at Sammy, my drummer.
Sammy? Hey, he does look different, you know?
Certainly does. This morning, my boys got up bright and early and went to Sammy's house and colored his head.
Oh, yes, it's pink. I thought he was blushing.
Now turn them big blue eyes on me, Jackson, and pay a little compliment. I'm really dressed for Easter, ain't I?
Yes, you are, Phil, but why shouldn't you dress well? You can afford it, you know. You do my show, your own show, personal appearances, recordings.
Yeah?
Tell me, Phil, what is your biggest source of income?
Shooting pool.
Shooting pool?
When you can sink the 5, 10, and 15 ball with one shot, you're in the upper bracket.
Well, how can you always be talking about pool? After all, you're a family man. I mean, what do your children think about it?
They love it.
What?
When they say they want to see Hoppy, they mean Willie, not Cassidy.
Well, I'd like to sit down and have a long talk with you, but I don't have the time now. You see, tonight we're going to do a very important sketch.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. As I was saying, we're going to do a very important sketch tonight about...
I was in the Easter parade this morning.
You were? That's nice.
You'll never guess who else was there.
Who?
There was Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffey, Malarkey, Mahone, Lafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dooley, O'Dooley, McDonald, Malone, Madigan, Cadigan,
St. Patrick's Day was last week. Dennis, let me ask you a question.
A question?
Yes. Why are you so silly?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it might tend to incriminate me.
Oh, you've been watching the investigating committee on television, huh?
Yeah, I watched one fella for hours. He isn't half as funny without Abbott.
That's a different Costello. Now, Don, as I started to tell you before, as soon as Mary gets here, she may be a little late. You see, her sister Babe is visiting her from Plainfield. Anyway, as soon as Mary gets here, we're going to do a very important sketch based on a picture that's nominated for the Academy Awards.
Say, that's right. This is the week of the Academy Awards.
Hey, Jackson.
What?
You never did win anything, did you?
No, Phil, not personally, but my picture's made a wonderful showing. Taking To Be or Not to Be, the director won an award. And George Washington Slept Here, the cameraman got an award.
What about The Horn Blows at Midnight?
The audience got the award.
Well, you're wrong about that because there was no audience. I mean, there was no audience. And, Phil, I'll make you a deal. If you forget about The Horn Blows at Midnight, I'll forget about Wabash Avenue.
And what, pray tell, was wrong with my performance in Wabash Avenue?
Phil, all I know is Betty Grable and Victor Mature were in that picture with you.
That's right.
Well, since then, Betty Grable made two more pictures with Dan Daly. Victor Mature made three more pictures with June Haver. And, Phil, what have you been doing?
Shooting pool with Zanuck.
What?
Two more games and the studio is mine.
Not if he shoots with a polo mallet. Now, Phil, if you'll be quiet for a moment, I'd like to tell the audience about the Academy Award picture we're going to do.
Oh, say, Mr. Benny, maybe I'll win an Oscar for that picture I was in.
What picture was that, Dennis?
I'll Get By.
Oh, yes, I'll Get By. That title was taken from a song.
It was?
Yes, Dennis. I'll get by as long as I have you.
You said it, kid.
Oh, quiet. Now, Don. Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Barry. This is Rochester.
Rochester, what did you call for?
Well, boss, I want you to know that when you leave for New York tonight to do your television show, you'll be going by train.
By train? But, Rochester, I've been dickering all week with the airplane company.
They called and said they thought your proposition over, but decided against it.
Against it?
Yeah, they said they don't care if you do wear your Charlie's Aunt costume. They don't need an extra stewardess.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
And, boss, when I thought you were flying, I even saved on your luggage.
How did you do that?
You know your gray suit, the one that makes you look like Clark Gable?
Yes.
Well, I took the padding out of the shoulders, and I put in 2 pairs of pajamas, 10 pairs of socks, 4 suits of underwear, and 3 dozen handkerchiefs.
Well, good, good.
In the other shoulder, I put your shirts, ties, bathrobe, and 2 dozen sandwiches.
Sandwiches?
When you get hungry, just reach up your sleeve, and people will think you're a magician.
Never mind that. Just see that everything is packed. Now, goodbye, Rochester. I'll see you later.
Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
I've got a very funny joke for your radio program.
A joke? What is it, Rochester? What is it?
Well, ask Mr. Wilson if he knows why a tangerine is like a manhole cover.
Oh, thanks, Rochester, thanks. Goodbye. Hey, Don.
Oh, yes, Jack.
Don, I just thought of the funniest joke. You know why a tangerine is like a manhole cover?
No, Jack. Why is a tangerine like a manhole cover?
Because... Oh, my goodness, I forgot to ask Rochester. How do you like that?
Jack, what are you mumbling about?
Nothing, nothing. Drop it.
I won't drop it. Why is a tangerine like a manhole cover?
Because Mr. Benny's the boss, and if you don't shut up, you're fired.
Thanks, Dennis.
Oh, that's all right. You'll get by as long as you have me.
Oh, stop!
Now, Don, we have to start our sketch pretty soon, but first, we've got to have the commercial.
Oh, yes, Jack, and since this is the first Sunday of spring, the sportsmen have prepared an appropriate number, Mendelssohn's Spring Song.
Mendelssohn's Spring Song? Oh, that's wonderful, Don.
And there's a part in it for you where you play the violin.
There wasn't till rehearsal when I made you put it in, you know. Now, hand me my violin. Okay, fellas, I'm first in this. Mendelssohn's Spring Song.
Yes, a cigarette for me. Carabina.
Wonderful, boys. Thank you very much. Now, Don, I think that we should have a... Come in. Hey, look who it is. It's Mary's sister, Bay.
Hello, Jack.
Well, Bay, this certainly is a pleasant surprise. You know my cast, don't you?
Yes, Jack. I met them a long time ago.
Hi, Babe.
Hello, Dennis. Say, Jack, he's cute. I love tenors.
Really?
Yes, you know, I used to be a tenor before my voice changed.
Well, now that you've mentioned your voice, Babe, I wish you'd try to raise it a little. You see, it might be confusing.
What do you mean, confusing?
Well, people think they're hearing Tallulah on both networks. Will you raise it a little?
I'll try, darling.
Thanks. Now, tell me, how come you dropped in on the program, Babe?
Mary sent me.
What?
The doctor wants her to take it easy for another week or so.
Oh, well, I wish I'd have known earlier. We're going to do our version of Sunset Boulevard today. And Mary was supposed to play Gloria Swanson's part.
Well, Jack, why don't you let me play the Gloria Swanson role?
You? But, Babe, you haven't, you know, you haven't had any acting experience.
Well, Jack, I almost was an actress.
You almost wasn't.
Wasn't it?
Oh, well, that's all right. Sure. You were? Huh? Go ahead.
Yes. When I graduated from high school, I didn't know whether I should become a radio actress or a stage actress.
Oh, well, what did you become?
A mechanic.
Well, Babe, let me talk to Don a minute, will you? Don, what do you think we ought to do?
Jack, what else can we do? It's too late to change the program.
I know, Don, but letting her play Gloria Swanson's part. I mean, we're taking an awful chance. They've never acted before.
But, Jack, we're stuck, so we just have to do the best we can.
Oh. Well, all right, Babe. You can play the part that Gloria Swanson played in the picture. We'll try it. I'll play William Holden's part, and Dennis, you'll play Eric von Stroheim's part.
Eric von Stroheim?
Yes.
But Babe looks more like him than I do.
Never mind.
But I don't want to play the part of a German butler.
What?
I don't want to play the part of a German butler.
You'll play it, and that's all there is to it. Don, set the scene.
All right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present our version of that picture, which has won several Academy Award nominations, Sunset Boulevard.
My name is Joe Gillis. Right now, I have three bullets in me, and I'm floating face downwards in a swimming pool behind an old mansion on Sunset Boulevard. Oh, I know, you're wondering how you can hear my voice with my face underwater. I had it transcribed for release at this more convenient time. My trouble started 6 months ago. I was an unemployed movie writer. I had tried in vain to get a job and apply to all the studios. I went to Paramount. Then to MGM. Then to Republic. Then I went to Universal, but they had just finished making Harvey, and they couldn't see me either. Finally, I got to a producer who was a friend of mine. As I sat opposite him in his imposing office. He said,
"Well, Gillis, what can I do for you?"
J.S., I got a story I'd like to sell you that'll make a great picture.
A story, eh? Well, give me a brief outline.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, the hero of my story is a psychiatrist.
Oh, and... no good, my boy. No good. The psychiatry cycle's done. Washed up. The trend today is pictures like Broken Arrow, Tomahawk, Indian stuff.
I know. You see, my hero is a half-breed psychiatrist. Now, the girl comes to him.
You and... have a girl in the story?
Yes, why?
Dated stuff. Movie fans want animals in pictures like Lassie, Francis the Mule, Bonzo the Chimp.
Oh, I know, I know. But the reason the girl is going to the psychiatrist is because her pet centipede has a complex.
That's a good angle. A centipede with a complex.
Yes, this centipede thinks his shoes are too tight, and the girl's going broke buying him Dr. Scholl's foot pads.
I'm afraid that's a little too fantastic, my boy, too fantastic. As a writer, Gillis, you should realize that... Well, hello, H.W.
Hiya, J.S. I dropped in to ask you if you'd like to have lunch with me and L.B.
I'd like to, H.W., but I got a lunch date with M.J. and B.G.
Well, how about tonight? I'm picking up J.T. and we're going to have dinner with R.S.
I'm sorry, but I'm having dinner with Daryl Zanuck.
Who?
D.Z.
Oh. Well, so long. See you later, J.S.
Goodbye, H.W.
I followed H.W. out of J.S.'s office because I had a date with L.S. and M.F. to have tea. But that day, the finance company tried to repossess my car. They chased me down Sunset Boulevard, and to escape them, I turned into the driveway of an old, dilapidated mansion. The door was open, so I walked in. When my eyes became accustomed to the gloom, I realized the house wasn't deserted. Then suddenly, I saw her. She was majestically descending a long spiral staircase. She must have come down that staircase often because her legs were spiral, too. Then she stopped and spoke.
What do you want here?
I pulled into your driveway. I thought this was an empty house.
Well, it's not, so get out.
All right, I'll... Wait a minute. I know your face. You're Norma Desmond. You used to be in pictures. You used to be big.
I'm still big. It's the pictures that got small.
She was right. Her television set only had a 7-inch screen. But I turned to her and said...
Miss Desmond, I've always been a fan of yours. I went to all your movies, and you were a great actress on the stage, too.
Yes, there was one role I played hundreds of times. I'll never forget my favorite speech. I always felt a thrill as I said it.
How did it go?
If I were king. Yes, if I were king.
But that's a man's part.
Now he tells me.
Look, Miss Desmond, since you've retired from pictures, how do you get money?
Oh, I own some stock, some income property, several apartment houses, and I have oil wells up at Bakersfield that are pumping, pumping, pumping.
Gee, stock, property, apartment houses, and oil wells that are pumping, pumping. What's your largest source of income?
Shooting pool.
When I told her I was a writer, she asked me to stay and help her with a screenplay she was preparing for her comeback. For weeks, Norma and I worked hard writing her screenplay, and gradually she began to care for me. I soon realized that she was really in love with me. Sometimes she would hold my hand. Sometimes she would pat my cheek. And one night, as she was running her fingers through my hair, I walked into the room. I turned to her and said...
Norma, this is a beautiful night. Let's go out for a ride.
We can't use the car tonight.
Why not?
It's at the service station. It's up on the grass reek.
You two, it must run in the family. Look, Norma, I'm hungry. Let's go out and get something to eat.
We don't have to go out. I'll have my butler prepare something for you. Oh, Max.
Ja, mein Fräulein, was ist los mit you?
Max, I'm hungry. What can you make for me?
Gedampfte Brust, Sauerbraten, Wiener Schnitzel, Hasen Pfeffer und Kuschlein mit Zibbeles.
What's Kuschlein mit Zibbeles?
I don't know. I told you I didn't want to play this part.
Never mind that. Just bring me a ham sandwich.
Ja, mein Herr.
Joe, dear, you have your sandwich. I'm going to change into something more comfortable.
As I waited for my sandwich, I took something out of the fruit bowl. When I bit into it, I broke my two front teeth. It was then I realized how important it was to know the difference between a tangerine and a manhole cover. Finally, I began to tire of the whole situation. I decided to leave. And as I was packing my things to go, Max suddenly interrupted me.
You are leaving here, mein Herr?
No, I'm taking it with me. Yes, Max, I'm leaving. I can't stand it any longer. This is a weird household. Norma is so possessive. And you keep watching me. Always watching.
Oh, but I got a right to watch, because even though I am now her butler, once I was her 17th husband.
You were her 17th husband? Who were the others?
There was Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malarkey, Mahone...
Now, cut that out! And stand aside.
Mein Herr, I wouldn't leave here if I was you.
Well, you're not me, so get out of my way.
Max, what's the matter?
Oh, Fräulein, he's going to leave you.
No, Joe, no.
I've got to, Norma.
Joe, you can't do this. Max, stop him. Look at me, Joe. Look at me. I can't face life without you. You're everything to me. My life. My love. If you go, I'll kill myself. Do you hear me? I'll kill myself.
It was after she read this big dramatic speech that I wish Mary were back on the show. I ignored her frantic pleading. I was determined to leave. So I grabbed my typewriter and rushed out of the house. She followed me screaming.
Joe, you can't leave me.
I'm going, Norma. Goodbye.
You can't go, Joe. Nobody leaves a star.
Ooh. Yes, she killed me. And I fell dead in her swimming pool. The only consolation is that they gave me a nice funeral. And I had wonderful pallbearers. There was Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McGuffy, Malarkey, Mahone, Rafferty, Lafferty, Connolly, Donnelly, Dooley Shapiro. Yes, that is my story. I lived and died on Sunset Boulevard.
Max, we'll be back in just a moment.
And now let's review this morning's Easter parade.
My Easter bonnet is the best, so men will be beguiled the way they are by Lucky Strike, the smoke both rich and mild.
That's why Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
This happy day I win real plays when strolling down the street, 'cause I get perfect Lucky Strikes to everyone I meet.
You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go Lucky, be happy, go Lucky Strike, be happy, go Lucky, go Lucky Strike today.
Friends, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette, and here's why. Fine tobacco. And only fine tobacco always gives you perfect mildness and rich, true tobacco taste. And every smoker knows, LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, with every Lucky you light, you always get that happy blending of real mildness and rich, true taste. Now, if you're not happy with your present brand, and a 38-city survey shows that millions are not, switch to Lucky Strike. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. So be happy. Go Lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy. Go Lucky. Go Lucky Strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Ladies and gentlemen, immediately following next Sunday's radio program, I'll do my third television show. As my guest stars, I'll have Claudette Colbert, Robert Montgomery, and Basil Rathbone. This will be seen in the Eastern area next Sunday, and 2 weeks later will be seen on the West Coast by Kinescope. Happy Easter, everybody.
Be sure to hear Dennis Day and the Damned Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the latest man. The show which follows immediately. The Jack Benny Show is heard by our armed forces overseas, which considered as the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. I hope you can join us next week with more old-time radio on the way for you. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.